Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cattywampus by Ash Van Otterloo, narrated by Rachel Wong. Chapter 1. Delpha. There was a sweet spot in Delpha McGill's week, between the hustle of school and the hard work during the weekend, that had no floors to sweep, no leaky faucets to tighten, no homework to riddle, and no lawn to mow. It was her time, and she fully intended to spend it in a blissful expanse of quiet, working on a secret whittling project in her bedroom. Finally, she started up the staircase in the hall, taking two steps at a time, careful to avoid the bad spots in the wood. A leaky roof meant rotted steps, and fixing shingles wasn't something she'd worked up the courage to tackle yet.
"Delpha, darling!"
Delpha winced at her mama's voice, her fingers clutching the worn banister. A crack in the ceiling blinked out a tear that splattered her nose as she froze in place. "She can't know you're fixin' to make a wand," Delpha reminded herself. "She can't read minds."
"Yes, ma'am." "Go into Mama's closet and bring out 3 flower garden quilts. Careful not to get 'em dirty, please."
Delpha's stomach instantly churned. She avoided her grandmother's room since Mama passed away a month ago, even though they needed the space. It wasn't the smell. It wasn't even the sad memories. It was the quiet. Mama knew danged well why Delpha didn't want to go in. Delpha had enough depressing empty spots in her life, and ignoring this new one seemed like a good idea, no matter what Mama's bedside copy of Embracing Loss claimed.
"Do I have to?"
"Yes, and you'd best watch your tone. Thank you, darling."
Delpha sighed, then held her breath and darted into the shadowy room, rushing past the empty bed and her grandmother's walker to the closet. She scowled. Her mother planned to sell the quilts to the Hearn family's Appalachian Culture Museum, near downtown Howler's Hollow, where tourists would coo over the intricate stitchwork and fork over their cash. Mama had put it off for days, and Delpha had secretly hoped she wouldn't go through with it. It was like they were trading a part of her grandmother away. But she and Mama needed the money to keep the lights on, especially after paying for the funeral. "Just get it done," Delpha told herself. "Don't overthink it." She yanked the string for the closet light and stood on her tiptoes, reaching for a stack of folded quilts. As she eased them from the shelf, something heavy and brown slid off the top of the stack and clocked her senseless right across the forehead. Delpha lay dazed on the wooden floorboards for a moment, constellations swirling before her eyes. A tender spot throbbed just above her hairline. She muttered dark things under her breath and pushed herself upright. What was that?
"Delpha!" her mother called. "Everything all right in there, baby girl?"
"Yeah, fine," Delpha replied.
She reached up and tested the tender spot. A furious bump the size of a sparrow's egg greeted her fingertips. "Be better if Mama would use her healing magic for once," Delpha muttered to herself. But that was out of the question. Magic was strictly forbidden in the McGill household, bruises or not. It had been ever since her mama's siblings had been killed decades ago in a spell gone bad. Delpha's grandmother had whispered muddled stories to Delpha about the old witchin' days sometimes when Mama wasn't listening. But Mama was gone now. People got old. They got dementia and died, even old witches. If there was one thing in the world reliable as rain, it was that everybody left eventually. Delpha breathed deep, feeling the tight clamp of sadness in her chest. It was just her and Mama. Presently, she twisted around this way and that to find what had fallen on her head. Crackled with age, a thick leather book lay splayed open beside her like a bird shot from the sky mid-flight. Delpha's brows furrowed. She squatted and gathered it together, her tight bootlaces creaking. Flipping it right side up, her heart jittered in her chest. In neat letters, tooled into the leather cover, were the words, "McGill Book O' Spells." Delpha blinked in disbelief.
"You had it all along, Mamma, you old devil," Delpha whispered.
She'd spent dozens of afternoons combing her grandmother's bookshelves when she was little, looking for her family's book of spells, curiosity burning a hole in her. Magic had sounded exciting. Forbidden magic had been even more tempting. She'd even sneaked up to scour the moth-riddled attic once, though the rafters of the old cabin were as unstable and off-limits as McGill magic. And now, the spellbook was here, in her lap. Leave it to crafty Mamma to put it somewhere casual, knowing Delpha would never look any place so boring. The book called to her now, and every atom of Delpha's body thrummed back in response. This book knew her. She knew it, too. It lived in late-night arguments between her grandmother and Mamma, atop the laps of grim, sharp-eyed old crones in yellowed family photographs, and, most powerfully, in the lonely corners of Delpha's own imagination. Passed down from firstborn to firstborn, the book kept record of the homemade charms and hexes of cousins, aunties, and sisters across several centuries. Delpha's long fingers trembled as they traced the binding. The McGill's spellbook.
"Delpha, if we don't carry those quilts to the Hearns Museum soon, it'll close! Shake a leg!"
Quiet as a deer, Delpha slid a threadbare pillowcase from the linen trunk and nestled the spellbook inside it. She gripped it in her hands a few seconds, wishing she could read it right then. If she could study magic on the sly, things might start looking up for her and Mamma. Maybe Delpha could fix things up around the house with magic. Maybe there were even spells for money. They might have plenty for once.
"Coming, Mamma."
The weight of Delpha's secret tugged at her gut, promising to rearrange her life 9 ways to Sunday if she'd let it. Delpha slid the wrapped book back onto the shelf and cracked her knuckles.
"I'll be back later tonight," she promised the book in a low voice.
She gathered the quilts up neatly, then hurried out to Mama's rusty old Buick. Chapter 2. Katybird. Katybird Hearn thanked the stars the bathroom counters at her family's Appalachian Culture Museum were sturdy, because she was standing on top of one. Katybird's mother hummed as she stocked shelves in the gift shop outside the bathroom, calling for Katie's help every so often. Just in case Mama came looking for her, Katie had locked the door for good measure. Tugging her iPhone from her pocket, she clicked it on and held it toward the skylight window next to the ceiling. In exactly this spot, she could connect to the neighbor's Wi-Fi and use the internet. In private. And today, privacy was important. She pecked out hands-glowing magic into the search engine. After a minute, the neighbor's Wi-Fi was slow as molasses. Tumblr links for Wiccan spells popped onto the screen.
"That ain't it," Katybird sighed.
Maybe she needed to be more specific. She started the search over. Witch hands glowing stuck. This time, the internet treated her to dozens of buy links for glowing Halloween witch decorations. Katybird deflated like a balloon. No one in the world could help her. She clicked the phone off, her heart sinking. A tingle prickled at her fingertips. Katie glared at them as she climbed off the counter. It was happening again. Why couldn't her magic be easy? Why couldn't anything be easy just this once? Her hands had been glowing like lightning bugs on and off for a week, filling Katie with an uncomfortable buzzing that reminded her of an electric cattle fence.
"The magic is trying to happen, Katie," she told herself. "Maybe you can work with it."
She thought of her favorite Roald Dahl book and stared down the paper towel dispenser with her best Matilda face on, willing it to shoot out napkins or burst into flames. But, of course, it didn't work. Instead, eerie light glowed around her fingernails, then crept up both her hands. Her fingers looked bizarre, like electric lime jello. The glow wasn't soft blue and flowing like her mama's. Katybird held her hands out, afraid to touch anything. They weren't giving off heat, but they grew brighter by the minute.
"No, no, no," she whispered.
Her hands were shedding sparks now. Dad blasted sparks. Fighting the impulse to holler to her mother for help, Katie Bird ran for the sink. She slammed the stopper into the marble basin, slapped the faucet on, and plunged her hands into the growing pool of cold water. Tiny green comets sputtered from her fingertips and chased one another around the sink like radioactive tadpoles. Katie Bird chewed her lip, tears welling. This wasn't how her magic was supposed to start, all of a sudden and weird. There were rules. In the Hearn family, your gift showed up early and slow. Unless you were a late bloomer like Katie Bird. Or you refused to use it, like Katie's cousin Echo. Katie was Echo's opposite. She longed for her magic to work, but instead it stayed trapped inside her, useless. Katie Bird nibbled a strand of cherry Kool-Aid-colored hair, staring at her own wobbling reflection. "Your conjure gift cannot be rushed, and when it shows, we keep it shushed," she whispered. She'd learned the silly rhyme when she was 3 years old. Lately, her mama always followed it with, "But you might not even have to worry about it at all, darling." Those words cut Katie like a hot knife through butter. Katie Bird wanted to yell, "You mean because I'm different, Mama, so I might not be a witch? You can say it if you think that's why." Instead, Katie smiled and answered, "Fine by me." That's what Mama and Nanny wanted to hear Katie Bird say, so they could pretend having a non-witch girl in the family wasn't a bitter disappointment. But their two big smiles and nervous chuckles told Katie it did matter. She couldn't blame them. It mattered to her, too. Unlike most girls, Katie'd caterwauled her way into the world with a pair of XY chromosomes instead of double X's. But her body hadn't had much use for hormones like testosterone, the chemicals that give people whiskers and let them sing bass in church choir. In fact, Katie's body converted them straight to buckets and barrels of estrogen, even before she was born. At nearly 12, Katie didn't shave her legs because she didn't need to. Her friends from swim team called her lucky. Katie Bird never got zits either, which was pretty handy for an almost popular girl in 7th grade. She was, impeccably, fabulously Katie Bird. But that one Y chromosome haunted her still, for one pesky reason. Her family's magic craft, witch's magic, was passed from mother to daughter. Katie Bird was a daughter. She was, wasn't she? She was. Her heart knew that. But as she hunched in a sad ball over the sink, doubt ran circles around her mind. "If I ain't a good witch," Katie thought, "does that mean I'm not a girl?" Or maybe it was the other way around. Either way, things were knotted up and complicated. In the sink, the sparks dwindled. Mascara black tears dropped and spread like ink through the water. She kicked the pipe beneath the sink with her purple sneaker. One thing was for sure. This wasn't the sort of magic she wanted to show off to anyone. Her family's safety rested on keeping their conjure secret. People in Howler's Hollow were good folk, but they were scared of magic. They politely pretended not to remember that a few generations back, the Hearns had been witches. And Katie Bird's magic, if you could call it that, seemed weird at best. Freaky day-glow hands weren't a great advertisement for normal. She pictured the pity in her family's faces, too, and knew this had to stay secret until she fixed it. Katie Bird pulled the stopper, and the water spiraled down the drain. Trembling, she muttered her favorite Elizabeth Taylor quote, "Put on some lipstick and pull yourself together." She pulled a tube of peach sparkly gloss from her pocket, coated her lips, and cleaned her runny eyeliner with a wet paper towel. "Time to go be Super Katie Bird," she told herself. Plastering on a dimpled smile, Katie soldiered out of the bathroom, sleeves rolled back to help arrange shelves for another big tourist weekend. That was Katie Bird's job, smiling, being a good kid, and making folks proud. Her spirits brightened when she heard voices from the gift shop. It was too late for visitors, but artists often came by to restock their wares after hours. Katie Bird liked the way other people took her mind off her own problems. She hurried past the copper stills in the moonshine exhibit and around the corner. Beside a set of rustic shelves stood a tall girl with a long, pitch-dark braid. Delpha McGill. Delpha was striking, Katie thought, but in a grim way. Her jet-black eyes were solemn daggers, and Katie had known Delpha long enough to know that a tiny, lopsided smirk was more or less the extent of Delpha's smiling ability. Today, Delpha's straight eyebrows gathered like thunderheads. Katie shivered. Delpha was the only other young witch in the Hollow, from the only rival magic family in the state, the McGills. Neither family did magic in public. There had once been bad blood between the two clans, and even now, they maintained a polite distance, which Katie found silly. Sure, the McGills and the Hearns had thrown hexes and burned each other's barns to cinders, and would have torched the whole valley if a truce hadn't been called a century ago. But traditions died hard in the hills, even if the tradition was acting plain old cranky. No one actually knew how their feud started. Something about a stolen cow, or was it a jinxed washtub? When Katie Bird Hearn's relatives repeated the dusty family lore over sweet tea, only one fact stayed consistent. The McGills had started it. To the non-magical folks in Howler's Hollow, it was the stuff of local folk legend. Fish tales with a microscopic grain of truth. Katie's family did magic at home now, just for fun, and away from prying eyes. She figured that's what the McGills did, too. Their herbs and advice were considered mountain wisdom now, not conjure. That left Katie and Delpha, last of their magical lines. Across the room, Delpha stood motionless, staring at the folded quilts in her arms. She looked even more serious than normal, and Katie remembered Delpha's grandmother had passed away several weeks ago. Katie bit her lip. She wanted to say something nice to Delpha. They could forget their family's prejudices, couldn't they? Before she lost her nerve, Katie cleared her throat and stepped forward. Delpha tensed. She shot Katie a sideways scowl, then slid her quilts into an empty place on the shelf, fingertips lingering on the perfect stitches. For a hair's breadth, Delpha's lower lip trembled. Katie remembered how she'd felt after her own cousin Echo had died a year ago. Katie bit back a sorry. A person got sick of hearing that sort of thing. So, instead, Katie Bird slid a cheerful smile onto her face.
Hey, Delpha. Haven't seen you in a while.
Delpha grunted.
Saw you yesterday at school, didn't I?
She hunched next to the cardboard box by her feet and removed half a dozen elderberry whistles, each with a neatly penned price attached. Katie Bird's eyes flitted to Delpha's hands, not glowing, not even trembling. Delpha was rock steady. Katie Bird wished all the way to her toenails she could ask Delpha point blank whether her magic had arrived, too. Delpha didn't bother looking at Katie, keeping her sad eyes forward. Katie tried again.
You carve those whistles yourself, right? They're gorgeous.
Delpha sighed hard.
Yep. Got bored after about the third one.
Oh, but tourists love 'em,
Katie Bird reassured her.
They fly off the shelves faster than anything. No one ever believes a 12-year-old girl did 'em. Anyway, must be nice, having the pocket money.
Katie recalled her own joy last summer when she'd been paid for cleaning glass in the museum every week. New chucks in her color of choice had been pure bliss. She wondered what sort of things Delpha McGill got joy from. Knives? Another pair of steel-toed boots? Delpha's eyebrows raised.
Sure. Pocket money.
Suddenly, the fraying hem of Delpha's shirt and her well-worn boots stood out. One of Delpha's bootlaces was even broken and tied together in the middle. Katie looked away, cheeks burning, and berated herself for being so stupid. She needed to change the subject, and fast.
Delpha, can we talk? About magic?
Delpha's eyes widened. Before she could answer, the bell on the entrance door jingled, and both girls clamped their mouths. Katie withered as their chance to talk about magic evaporated. Tyler Nimble, a stocky boy with glasses and his mom's, Muzz and Honey, shuffled in, swatting off moths that tried to hitchhike a ride into the store. Tyler spotted the girls right away and grinned. Katie waved a half-hearted hello as Tyler helped his moms haul in crates of hand-turned wooden bowls, made by Tyler's uncle for the museum shop. Tyler set down his last box and walked over, wiping sweaty palms on his shirt front.
"Hey, Katie Bird! Hey, Delpha! Y'all got big plans for the weekend?"
He asked as if Katie and Delpha were sort of friends who might do things together. Katie toed a knothole in the floorboards with her sneaker.
"Nope."
Delpha's gruff tone had no use for manners.
"How about you, Katie?" Tyler asked.
Katie sighed. "Just spring fling, I guess. We're expecting a big turnout this year. Are you going?" Tyler repositioned his glasses.
"I'm hanging out with my uncle on Sunday, so probably not."
He lowered his voice and leaned forward.
"But I'm going ghost hunting tomorrow night. It's gonna be a full moon."
Delpha rolled her eyes, and Katie suppressed a giggle.
"Sounds exciting,"
Katie told him. She didn't volunteer more, guiltily wishing Tyler would go away. She needed time to wheedle magic talk from Delpha. Katie's hopes vanished when her rosy-faced mama bustled out of the storage closet, breathless and carrying a basket full of blank price tags and pens. Delpha darted away and wandered toward the info booth. There, she glowered at a topographical map, as Mrs. Hearn and Katie helped the Nimbles shelve their bowls until Katie's arms were sore and sweat slicked her forehead. When they'd finished, Mrs. Hearn offered Delpha and Tyler soft peppermint sticks from a jar on the glass counter. Tyler accepted several of the chalky sticks with an eager, "Thank you, ma'am." Delpha stiffened, then politely refused. Mrs. McGill finished scribbling her paperwork at the desk, then checked her watch and waved Delpha toward the car. Mrs. Hearn saw them all out the door before pausing to slip a small brown paper bag into the pocket of Tyler's raincoat.
"More stone root for you, darling,"
Tyler mumbled his thanks.
"Medicinal herbs, probably,"
Katie noted idly. Mama's stock magic was constantly at work behind the scenes, being useful, even when the people in the hollow didn't know about it or appreciate it. Katie let a wistful sigh fly. Tyler caught Katie Bird staring. Or he'd been staring at her. His bright hazel eyes flicked away, then back again. He gestured to the pocket of Katie Bird's white hoodie.
"Your cell phone's ringing on silent, Katie Bird. I can see it glowing."
Katie looked down. Pea-green light shone through the fabric of her pocket. Her left hand thrummed with unspent power, and her right fingers began to tingle, too. She fought to control her panic.
"Excuse me, will ya?"
Katie blurted, heart fluttering. Her magic couldn't be acting up again. It had only been a little over half an hour. A wave of dizziness hit her, and she hit the bathroom door just as her fingers began twinkling. Chapter 3 Delpha. 2 hours later, poised on a wooded hill near her cabin, Delpha shivered. The night air of early spring wound its tendrils around her, but she paid it no mind. Nothing else mattered now but this. After Delpha's mama had left for work, Delpha had stolen the spellbook from her grandmother's closet. Her mama would tan Delpha's hide if she found out, which is why she wouldn't. Sometimes rules had to be shattered, especially when you craved control so badly you couldn't stand it, not for another minute. She sat alone outside, where she felt the most invincible, and prepared to cast her very first spell. Delpha carefully opened her favorite carving knife, the one with the handle in the shape of a howling wolf, and set about whittling the bark off a stick. Clip, 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 went the blade against the wood, slicing off neat little curls of bark. Her mind spun as the wand slowly took shape beneath her careful fingers. Her mama had forgotten to hide the bills from Mama's funeral before she'd rushed off to attend a birth earlier that evening. Mama had also forgotten to hide the electric and water bills. Delpha had thumbed through them for a half hour, flabbergasted at how bad money was.
Duffel would gladly yank out her own eye teeth with pliers if it meant never feeling that helpless again. She'd figured things were rough, of course, since they'd sold Mama's precious quilts. But if there were prizes for being in the hole, she and Mama were taking home the blue ribbon. There was food in the pantry, sure. Mama, a soft-hearted midwife, often let her clients trade canned vegetables from their gardens or new tires for service. Delpha couldn't blame her mother. Times were tough for everyone. And it was true that food and free tires were better than nothing. But you couldn't pay for a casket and house repairs with tires, could you? And all the canned vegetables in the world couldn't fill the loneliness that kept creeping through Delpha's soul. With Mama working around the clock and Mama passed on, she found herself wishing for more company, too. It'd all be easier if her father hadn't left. But she couldn't even remember what he looked like. A murky memory rippled through Delpha's thoughts. Looking down, the wolf-handled knife wasn't in her hands right then, but in her hands long ago. Sinewy, warm arms inside a denim jacket wrapped around Delpha's shoulders, and Delpha leaned back against a humming chest. Her father smelled like pine sap and coffee and chewing gum. His voice was deep and happy, and the tickling rumble of it made a giggle rise in Delpha's throat. She dragged the knife too hard over a knot in the wood. "Easy now," the deep voice instructed, guiding Delpha's tiny hands as she carved. "Always focus and always cut away from your body. Elsewise, you're liable to lose a knuckle."
"Looky there, you're a natural."
Delpha's face beamed with pride. "No," Delpha spat into the night air. The word echoed in the ravine below, doubling the self-admonishment. Delpha blinked hard. She hadn't indulged that particular fantasy since she was 6 years old and soft and didn't yet understand how the world worked. Some people didn't stay. And when they left, you just made do with what you had. Her face grew hot. "There ain't no point in wishing after a stranger," she muttered. She'd have to help herself. Delpha eyed the hickory wand with a critical eye. Satisfied with the result, she ran the freshly hewn flesh of the hickory grain across her lips. Smooth as silk. She spun it in her fingers, then nodded. It was her first wand. She'd use magic to find a way to pay the bills. Since Mama had strictly forbidden conjure, Delpha would figure it out without help. She pocketed her knife and gave a dark chuckle. Her father had left the knife behind the day he'd abandoned them, and it gave her a spiteful satisfaction to use it for wand making. She'd use the wand to prove she and Mama didn't need him, or anyone. Besides, the knife's handle had the inlay of a wolf, her favorite animal. Delpha cracked her knuckles. Time to become a witch. "Here goes nothing." She settled cross-legged on some pine needles, opening the book to a yellowed page with the title, Witch Wake. She raised her wand, then cleared her throat, and chanted, "Awake the powers dark and deep, that here betwixt these bosoms sleep." Delpha blushed at the word bosoms, and self-consciously secured the top button of her flannel shirt, then found her place again. "Let young'un join the ring of grannies, to kick my foes right in their fannies." Pursing her lips, Delpha threw a handful of feathers in the air, then spat into a circle drawn in the loamy forest floor. Her watchful eyes narrowed, muscles tense, but the end of her wand stayed dull as dirt. Delpha waited a few moments, just in case the magic needed to brew for a bit. After all, it didn't need to be impressive. It only needed to work. When nearly an hour had passed and her toes had gone numb, Delpha snapped the book shut in frustration and rubbed her aching forehead. The book didn't say what was supposed to happen when a young witch awakened. Still, Delpha had expected a surge of power or a blast of light or some piddly something to indicate she'd succeeded. Anything but nothing. She'd done the witch wake spell exactly how the book had said. She'd collected the feathers from a chicken, a crow, and a dove. The only other variable was her wand. It looked fine as far as Delpha could tell, but then again, she'd never seen the real McCoy now, had she?
not with Mama's contempt for all things magical. Frowning, Delpha pocketed her wand.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?